Hey moms, it's Mandy here, mom of two wild, wonderful teenage boys who both just wrapped up their braces journey with Shirk Orthodontics. And let me tell you, their smiles are absolutely stunning. But what made me really fall in love with Shirk Orthodontics wasn't just the results. It was how easy they made the whole process for me as a busy mom. Best part, other than five convenient locations, is they offer a free exam. Go online and book today at yoursmilemaker.com.
Mention code BACKTOSCHOOLSMILE at your new patient exam and receive clear ceramic braces valued at $450. Free.
The DEN Files, the ultimate Broncos podcast with Nate Lundy.
Welcome into the podcast. My name is Nate Lundy. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. A lot on tap for the podcast this week as we kick things off. We'll get to our big interview in just a moment. Talk about the big storylines as training camp and the preseason are underway and the start of the regular season is just a couple of weeks away. Plus, we'll do Around the League with the coach, Brian Billick from NFL Network, as we will every week, a chance to visit with the coach. And we'll close things out this week's podcast with Overtime, a six pack of questions. This week's guest, Andrew Siciliano of the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone channel. But it all gets started with the big interview next.
The big interview.
Time for the big interview for the Broncos. And to do that, from the Colorado Springs Gazette, he is on Twitter at @ByPaulKlee. That's K-L-E-E. Paul Klee is our guest. Paul, let's start here. Everybody and their brother-in-law, their mother-in-law, their sister's cousin's boyfriend's uncle are all focused coast-to-coast on this quarterback position with the Denver Broncos. But, Paul, from the beginning, you have said, from the start of training camp, that you thought Trevor Siemian looked the best. Tell everybody why.
Well, you're right about that. I was actually walking my dog around Denver today, and she asked me who the quarterback would be. Trevor, I thought, was the most consistent guy through 3 weeks of training camp and also in the preseason games. And I think it's important to say, too, that it's relative. It's not. It wasn't an enormous gap between Mark Sanchez and Trevor Siemian. And then you had Paxton Lynch coming along over the last week. So I think that Trevor Siemian, I think he will be the starter in week one against Carolina, which is kind of turning everything on its side, considering 6 months ago you had Peyton Manning against Cam Newton. Now it will be Trevor Siemian against Cam Newton, probably. But I think he gives them he is enough. Let's put it that way. He isn't going to be a world beater. If he throws for 170 yards, a touchdown, and no interceptions, that's probably a perfect game for Trevor Siemian with this defense.
And I think, Paul, when we look at this Broncos team, you just hit it on the head with one part of that sentence, and that's zero interceptions. Are the Broncos, is their biggest concern with Mark Sanchez the turnovers? It's sort of a, we don't need you to win the game, but just don't lose the game for us?
You know, I think that's exactly what it is. It's this defense that people will see for the Broncos this season, I think, is faster. I think it's deeper, and I think it will be better than it was last year. As good as it was, this offense simply can't put the defense in a bad position, and that's kind of in reverse of what we often think. But consider this. Last season, when the Broncos won Super Bowl 50, the defense had the worst average starting position in the entire NFL. So the Peyton Manning offense in its first year with Gary Kubiak was so incompetent at times that the defense was put in such precarious positions that it didn't have a choice but to make plays. If they can even be mediocre in that respect, just average, this defense's numbers are going to be extraordinary.
One of the keys to the defense is going to be to have them rested when they come out on the field, because to your point, they have a lot of speed, but you got to make sure you're not winded when you're doing that. So how important is the running game then for the Broncos?
Oh, it's huge. It's really everything for them, because not only will it help the defense, but that will give Trevor Siemian or Paxton Lynch, whoever is starting for them on offense, it will give them breathing room. It will give them, it will take some of the pressure off from the opposing pass rush. They won't have to wing it around the yard like they have during this preseason. I think C.J. Anderson has come into camp in the best shape that he has been. He's injury-free so far. And in addition to that, Devontae Booker, the rookie out of Utah, has looked good at times. And obviously he's still figuring things out, but he's a talented guy. So I think that the running game will be more potent than it was a year ago, provided the offensive line comes together like they hope.
And Paul Klee's our guest, Colorado Springs Gazette on Twitter at @ByPaulKlee. Paul, everybody knows Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, but when it comes to training camp as well as the preseason, the real battle for the Broncos from a position standpoint is who was going to emerge as that number three wide receiver. It's safe to say the Broncos, at least coming through camp, are incredibly deep at that position, but who, in your mind, has risen to the number three spot?
You know, it's interesting about that is I think it was the first day of training camp or maybe the day before camp when Gary Kubiak said he thought this was the deepest collective of wide receivers that he's had before. That's going to be very interesting in terms of the 53-man roster, how many and who they keep. I thought the third best guy was actually the guy who caught the final pass from Peyton Manning, and that was Benny Fowler. He's a bigger receiver. He played at Michigan State. He won't be green this year. He got some time last year, and he's very physically gifted. He's not like a DT type or an Emmanuel Sanders type, so he's not a redundant type of wide receiver. And I know that the Broncos really like him a lot. Now, he's injured at the moment, but you're going to see a lot of Benny Fowler as the season goes on, and Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders get some of those double teams that they've become accustomed to.
Paul, as of when we're recording this, we don't know whatever the punishment might be for Aqib Talib from the league. But if, in fact, there is a punishment, whether it is one game, whether it's six, whatever the number winds up being, you just said that you thought the Broncos are deeper and faster than they were last year. So where does the help come in the secondary if Talib has to miss some games?
You know what's funny is we've spent so much time talking about the quarterback spot, and for, you know, good reason. Obviously, the tradition is that teams are built around the quarterback. But the biggest decision that we don't know about yet is what happens with Aqib Talib. That's going to impact this team as much as what they do at quarterback, I feel like. What they have is so unique and rare in the NFL. They have three corners that can be considered shutdown corners. Bradley Roby is just now getting there, but he's had an exceptional training camp. I think Bradley Roby's a guy that they're going to feel really comfortable with letting Aqib Talib go after this season because they have so much confidence in him. If Talib is out, the guys you'll look at are first Kayvon Webster. I think he's a third or fourth year guy. And then you'll look at Lorenzo Doss, who's a guy they picked up in the draft last year and has had a number of interceptions in this camp. So that's probably their deepest positional battle is at corner, which is pretty rare in a league that everybody throws it all over the place.
Beyond that, when you look at this defensive line, you know, Malik Jackson is gone, got paid by Jacksonville. You know, they've brought in some free agents. They've done something. What is the front? You know, we all know about Von Miller and the like, but in terms of the front line, the defensive ends, you know, where do they have any weaknesses, or do they, Paul?
You know, I think that is an area to watch in the month of September, the defensive line, because of who you start against. You start against Carolina, you know they're going to run it quite a bit. You go to Indianapolis, and Andrew Luck has been a Broncos beater over the last couple of years. And then you got Cincinnati, and that might be the most gifted roster in the AFC. I thought last year the Bengals were the most difficult roster that the Broncos played, even more so than New England or Carolina. So that looks to me like that defensive line is going to be tested very early. I think Jared Crick is a help. I think Sylvester Williams, I was surprised they didn't pick up his fifth-year option because I think he's been a pretty solid player. Those are guys to keep an eye on. And then Derek Wolf, you know, he's missed some time in training camp, but at the end of last year, I think Wade Phillips and those defensive coaches would tell you that Derek Wolf was probably their best interior defender, and he has a new contract to play up to, so he's got to be a star this year.
Give me a prediction on the regular season record.
Ooh, I like that. Let's go. We're so accustomed to now the Broncos just simply winning the AFC West. It's going to be more difficult this year. And part of that is because of they are not the team that they were a year ago. I think this team is actually better, Nate, and I'm in a very small percentage of that minority. I think this team is better. I'm going to go 11-5, tie for the AFC West, but get the tiebreaker, and you see them get that home field advantage once again.
For the final 2 weeks of the preseason, what's the one thing, other than quarterback, I'm not going to let you answer quarterback, what's the one thing you're still looking for out of this team?
You know what? It is, that's a really good question. I think this season is on Gary Kubiak, Wade Phillips, Rick Dennison, and this coaching staff. If they're able to get the kind of effort and that belief, as cheesy as that sounds, it was almost tangible by the end of last season. They just felt like they could beat anybody. It didn't matter what they were down or what the score was after halftime. I think I want to see CJ Anderson put together a 16-game season in which he does not get injured, he does not get winded, and he becomes that number one tailback that his contract suggests he should be. So I want to see this offensive line play well over the last two preseason games, and I want to see that running game get going again.
He's Paul Klee from the Colorado Springs Gazette. He's on Twitter at @ByPaulKlee, K-L-E-E. Paul, appreciate the time. Thanks.
Right on, man. Thanks a lot.
Stay tuned. The coach, Brian Billick, coming up next.
Around the league.
It is time for us to go around the league, and as we will do each week throughout the season, we're joined from the NFL Network. You find him on Twitter at Coach Billick. It is the coach, Brian Billick. And first of all, Coach, how's your offseason been?
It's been great. As usual, too short, but it's time for football, so we'll crank this thing up.
It always feels like it's too short. Let's talk about some of the stories from the offseason and even from training camp and beyond. A few interesting quarterback moves, so let's start here. First of all, what's your assessment of the Broncos quarterback situation and the decision Gary Kubiak's having to make?
Well, anytime you take a quarterback in the first round, obviously L.A. doing it with Jared Goff, and then Carson Wentz in Philadelphia, and then Paxton Lynch in Denver. At some point, you've got to know these guys are going to start. I mean, since the, Aaron Rodgers did it in 2005, and he's the poster child for those that say, okay, you shouldn't start a quarterback, let him sit in and learn behind somebody else. Well, with all due respect, he sat in behind Brett Favre. That's a Hall of Famer. And Carson Wentz and Jared Goff and Paxton Lynch, they're not sitting behind Hall of Fame. In my opinion, they ought to play. And it sounds like Paxton Lynch, particularly with a team like Denver, that's going to pack a great defense. They anticipate running the ball well. Why would you not start him?
And then when you go from Denver, let's stay in the West. Let's go to the NFC West. What about what Chip Kelly is dealing with in San Francisco with Gabbert, with Kaepernick? It feels like it's a very odd situation that he's trying to decide who his quarterback for 2016 is going to be.
Yeah, you know, what the old adage is, if you have two or three quarterbacks, you have no quarterback. I mean, it should be very clear-cut. And he may have already decided. I think there's still an upside for Colin Kaepernick. We'll see how he fits into the Chip Kelly system. You'd think it would be fabulous. Blaine Gabbert, I think we've seen, is a backup, a good, solid backup in this league. I don't know that you're going to be a championship-caliber club. Colin Kaepernick still has a little of that upside. But the hard thing will be that this roster is not a great roster right now. It's not a great defense. You know, you hope that Carlos Hyde can stay healthy and run the ball. The receiving core, they have some potential there, but I don't know they have the absolute go-to guy, and that includes their tight ends. Vance McDonald is kind of pedestrian. So I think the group that he's going to be working with, along with the defense that's clearly having to rebuild, I think there's going to be some challenges for Chip in San Francisco.
What about a positive quarterback story, at least from what we've seen in the preseason so far, and that's Robert Griffin III in Cleveland. A lot of folks feel like maybe we're starting to see the RG3 that we saw at the very beginning in Washington.
Well, you hope so, because obviously this guy has a lot of talent. If he can stay healthy, and that's a big if, that's something obviously everybody's going to watch to see because they keep saying, we're going to let Robert Griffin be Robert Griffin. Well, when Robert Griffin was Robert Griffin, when he was RG3, he got hurt. And so I'm looking for a guy that can he beat you from the pocket? Yeah, can he do the things outside? He's got potentially, and I'm hesitant to use that word because the old adage is in coaching, son, your potential is going to get me fired. But if there's some potential, it looks like Terrell Pryor has some upside in terms of the receiver. If indeed Josh Gordon can come back and be solid for them, if they can get that running game cranked up, then that's going to complement RG3 and give them a chance, obviously, to piece this thing together. And I don't think anybody expects them to be a playoff team, but they can be a good, solid, competitive team.
The buzz down in Dallas is, of course, all about Dak Prescott, and we know it's a limited sample size of preseason, but what were your thoughts on Prescott going into the draft, and are they coming to fruition?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the Dak Prescott, this is different than the first-round conversation, which is good, because for the Dallas Cowboys, obviously with Tony Romo, it's all about keeping Tony Romo healthy, but if you can get and reach down into the fourth round, like they did for Dak Prescott. This is a talented guy. A lot of people will equate his game a little bit in terms of Russell Wilson. Now, that you say that, people go, oh, boy, well, this guy needs to be your starter. I'm just saying that he's a later draft choice that's showing some potential. I did see an interesting comment from him in talking about how he feels like he's ready for whatever the NFL's going to throw at him, whether it's a vanilla defense or, as he said, a rocky road defense. I think I'm ready. Well, let's hold on that. I prefer to have a rookie quarterback know just enough to be afraid, because I love the bravado, but the difference that he'll see in the regular season versus the preseason, notwithstanding Tony Romo staying healthy, but obviously for Dallas, they've got the best of both worlds. If indeed he can be a serviceable backup, get a young quarterback that they can develop, you couldn't ask for more than your backup quarter in your backup quarter position.
The coach, Brian Billick, with us. You find him on Twitter, at Coach Billick, as we go around the league. Coach, let's talk about a couple of coaching changes. How do you think the young Adam Gase, and I always wind up feeling older when I see a head coach who's 30, but nonetheless, a young Adam Gase, how do you think he'll do in Miami?
Well, he's got it set up to do very well. I mean, he was brought in. He's the current quarterback whisperer, so he's going to come in, and Tannehill is going to be that next protege, and that next quarterback. Indeed, can he transform this guy who's had a solid beginning in his career? That's how it's going to be judged, because the expectations in Miami are very high in terms of what they think they can do. Obviously, in that division, it's all about, can you supplant New England? I don't know if they're good enough to do that. So the next question is, are they good enough to be a wild card team? And that's a tall order in the AFC.
What about Doug Peterson in Philadelphia? What's your assessment of Peterson?
Well, he certainly brings the right pedigree in terms of having been a former player, being a part of successful teams with Andy Reid. He's certainly in a familiar situation. Let's go back and remember that Doug Peterson was brought in to be the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles in Andy Reid's first year in 1999 to basically hold down the spot until Donovan McNabb could eventually take it over, which he did middle to late season. Now, that was a 5-11 team. He now is sitting on a team where he's got a couple quarterbacks, more than a couple. Sam Bradford, obviously, they paid all that money to. They went out and moved up and used a lot of assets to go get Carson Wentz. But I was up at their training camp, early in training camp, and had a chance to visit with Coach Peterson. And he and Howie Roseman, the general manager, seemed wholly committed to Carson Wentz not playing this year. Now, I don't know that that's going to happen. As I said, since Aaron Rodgers took over or was drafted back in 2005, 29 quarterbacks have been taken in the first round, and only a handful have not played in the first year. Only four, to be exact: Aaron Rodgers, Jason Campbell, Grady Quinn, and Jake Locker. Now, that's not an impressive list outside of Rodgers. So those that want to make the camp, well, maybe you shouldn't play your quarterback in the first year, hasn't turned out real well. So we're going to find out if Doug Peterson wants to emulate what he did for the Philadelphia Eagles and just kind of be a placeholder until they can get Carson Wentz into the starting lineup.
As you look at the NFL over the course of the last year, certainly the last 8 or 9 months, Coach, we've seen, whether it's the Al Jazeera report, we've seen Deflategate, we've seen a number of things going on. Are we in jeopardy at all with the league of Roger Goodell, any of the decisions or anything that he's doing, is it starting to hurt the image of the league when it comes to the fans?
Well, I don't think so, particularly when we're talking, it's kind of talking out of both sides of the mouth when the media wants to say, well, is Roger Goodell too tough? Is he too authoritarian, as the players and the union will say? But by the same token, the NFL can't suffer these black eyes. He's got to get it under control. And that's really what it's going to come down to. We just saw the recent situation in the Olympics with Ryan Lochte. And how it's so often it's not the act itself, it's the cover-up or the lack of taking responsibility for it that is much, much more difficult. And that's what Roger Goodell and the league are trying to do, to make sure that these players understand there's going to be an accountability. There's a red line in the sand. And if you cross it, you're going to be held accountable for it.
The coach, Brian Billick, with us. Last one for you, Coach. Give me a team that is going to surprise us, and it could be a team that we think isn't going to be very good, who's going to be better than expected, or a team that has high expectations that's going to underachieve.
Wow. Well, let's go with the positive on that. And you know, when we talk about this and the work I do for the NFL Network, we're at that time of year where everybody wants to talk about that same thing about who are the teams that are going to surprise us? And the criteria is, okay, let's begin with the teams that weren't in the playoffs last year.
Right.
Because obviously you got to see what the Carolina Panthers do. Washington Redskins, who I think are going to be pretty good. Can they get back in the playoffs? But a team that clearly needs to do well for their coach, but I think his position could be pretty good, is Jacksonville. Now, they need to be good because obviously Gus Bradley's only got 10 or 11 wins, 12 wins over the last 3 years. But you've got to love, at least in the preseason and certainly in the third year, Blake Bortles seems ready, along with, you know, that great receiving core with Allen Robinson and Allen Hurn. The tight end position is a solid one with Mercedes Lewis. Julius Thomas, who they brought in last year in free agency, could step up and have a big year for them. And obviously in the running game, getting Chris Ivory to go with E.J. Yeldon. They're going to have some offensive weapons. And, of course, Gus Bradley went out and drafted a bunch of defensive guys who they're going to play. They don't have to be great defense, but they got to be better. This could be a team in the AFC South that really could be wide open that makes their way into the playoffs.
And they're benefited, Coach, aren't they, by the division that they're in? Sometimes the geography around you benefits you, that there isn't like a Patriots or a Carolina Panthers type team that they're trying to climb over either.
Yeah, and I regrettably, we always will start the season off and, okay, what coaches are on the hot seat and well, that division's on the hot seat, because every single one of those coaches, whether it be Chuck Pagano in Indianapolis, the expectations with a healthy Ryan Leaf, whether down on Mike Mularkey, all but a first year, you go, how can a first year coach be on the hot seat? Well, let's remember what happened in Jacksonville, where he went 1 year and got fired. The expectations that Marcus Mariota is going to be better, and obviously down in Houston, they went out and spent the big money on a quarterback that the Denver Broncos said they didn't want to spend the money on, and Brock Osweiler. Brock Osweiler's got to come through for Billy O'Brien, or it could be, you know, could be a problem for him. So I think that whole division of coaches is on the hot.
I say it every single year. You're a smarter football fan if you spend some time with the coach, Brian Billick. He's on Twitter, at Coach Billick. Coach, look forward to visiting with you again throughout the season. Thanks for the time.
Sounds great. It'll be fun.
Coming up next, it will be time for Overtime, a six-pack of questions, rapid-fire style, with the NFL Network's Andrew Siciliano. Overtime is next.
Overtime.
It is time for Overtime. That means we got a six-pack of questions, because what else do you do during overtime but make another trip to the bar and grab a six-pack so that you can enjoy it? This week, our guest in Overtime from the NFL Network is Andrew Siciliano. Andrew, how are you?
Nate, how are you?
I'm doing very well, my friend. You ready for a six-pack of questions here?
Are they alcohol-free?
Well, they are alcohol-free, just in case you've got to go in front of the camera here in a moment.
Good.
All right.
Double check. Go ahead.
Let's start here. Question number one. Which rookie quarterback is going to start first, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, or Paxton Lynch?
Paxton Lynch.
And why is that?
Jared Goff might be my other answer. I think it, no doubt Case Keenum is going to be the starting quarterback for the Rams out of the gate. They have two difficult division games right out of the gate, so you're not going to see Goff, I don't think, in September. Paxton Lynch, as of our taping, Nate, still has a shot if he performs well in week 3 of the preseason to get the starting job, as absurd as that sounded a couple of weeks ago. And I think Paxton Lynch very well could be the two behind Trevor Siemian. And Trevor Siemian, somewhat unproven. That would put Paxton Lynch in a great position.
All right. Question number two. Do you think Ezekiel Elliott is going to break Tony Dorsett's 1977 rookie rushing record for the Cowboys of 1,007 yards?
Yes.
In what week?
Well, you need to average 66 yards, roughly, I believe, or 65 or something like that, a week to get to 1,000. So do the math. I say he looks like a 1,200-yard back.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'm with you on that one. All right, question number three. Do you think that Tom Brady's suspension is going to mean the end of the Patriots' run at the top of the AFC East?
Absolutely not. Call me except in December when they win the division.
All right, question number four. Will this intriguing Jacksonville Jaguars team, led by a defense they've been rebuilding, do you think they make the playoffs?
Ooh. I'm going to say no, but I'm going to say they make a run for it and look like a 9-7 team. I'm still not entirely sold, but I'm excited. When the schedule came out in April, I said Green Bay on the road week one at Jacksonville was your sneaky good game of September.
As you look at Cleveland, are we seeing the resurrection of Robert Griffin III?
Yes. The question is, how long will the life be once resurrected? He certainly looks good in the preseason. It is still the preseason. Pump your brakes, Dak Prescott fans. RG3 has proven he could play and win in this league. Can he do it as a dropback passer? Can Hugh Jackson truly, truly give him sustained success? I don't know. I mean, the right side of it off, well, right tackle is an issue. They have some weapons offensively, but blocking and tackling still will be an issue, which doesn't always bode well for the quarterback. Don't be shocked if they are in the number one overall discussion next year. Maybe not at number one, but at least trying to trade up to get a certain quarterback from the ACC, who for the time being shall remain nameless because he's an underclass.
Let me do a follow-up to question number five. Do you think RG3 ever makes it back to the Pro Bowl?
Well, Teddy Bridgewater made the Pro Bowl last year, and I like Teddy, but he only had like 14 touchdown passes. The way people drop out of the Pro Bowl, I'll never say never for anybody making the Pro Bowl.
All right, last question from our six-pack in overtime with NFL Network's Andrew Siciliano. Do you believe by this time next year we will be referring to the Las Vegas Raiders?
I would say, because it's Vegas and we're playing the odds, that it is slightly better than 50-50 that we will. However, never underestimate the likelihood of an iconic franchise staying home with a last-second deal.
I have said that I'd never want to see a city lose their team, but given that I'm in Denver with the AFC West, it could be kind of fun with the Raiders in Vegas. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Nate, a man of your fame and your needs, you know, I can't imagine that you need a Raiders game to hop on a $79 one-way flight to Vegas.
As long as you're going to meet me there. It's Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network, part of Overtime with our six-pack of questions for this week. Andrew, thanks.
Yes, sir.
And there you have it. That's how the Overtime works, a six-pack of questions for a different analyst each week. And it also wraps up our podcast for this week. Thanks for being a part of it. We'll talk to you soon.
This has been a Sports Joe production. For more team-specific podcasts, visit sportsjoe.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody. Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.